Something important is going to happen this Wednesday, October 4th. No, I'm not talking about the baseball playoffs getting underway. No, I'm not even talking about the Feast of St. Francis of Assisi, which is this Wednesday. I won't bless your animal unless it's in a cage. No, this Wednesday, October 4th, will be the beginning of a synod in the Catholic Church. Not a synod, like Congress, but a synod. S-Y-N-O-D. A synod. It will be gathering in Rome almost the entire month of October. So a few weeks ago, Bishop Brungard forwarded to us a sample blessing from the Vatican that could be used in preparation for the synod. And admittedly, my first reaction was, a blessing for the synod? I don't go to bed or wake up thinking about the synod. If I remember right, I made my comments a few years ago, and I put that message in the bottle, and I put that bottle in the ocean. Besides, I have other important things to think about and pray about. I'm excited to bless expectant parents at all the masses on this Respect Life Sunday. I've been thinking and praying a lot about our future steps as a parish, which I'm excited to share more with you at the end of Mass. But a synod? I mean, some worry that it will take us in the wrong direction. You know, just let us do our own thing in Dodge City. Don't you remember when the peasants in the musical Fiddler on the Roof asked the rabbi, "Is there a blessing for the czar?" And the rabbi responded, "A blessing for the czar? Yes, there is. You know, may God bless and keep the czar far away from us." So let's understand what this October event is. The word synod comes from two Greek words, which combined basically mean walking together along the way. The disciples did this from the beginning, whether it was the two walking to Emmaus on Easter Sunday, or the gathering for the first Council of Jerusalem in the Acts of the Apostles. We will know Christ better if we walk together along the way. But it wasn't until after Vatican II in the 1960s that the church began to regularly gather bishops and others for synods to discuss some specific aspect of the faith. Which brings us to this synod, beginning Wednesday. So what's the aspect of the faith that they're talking about this time? Well, this synod is about synods. You know, the papal ambassador to the United States said that if it is a meeting about having meetings, that would be like purgatory. St. Paul pleaded with the Philippians in our second reading, complete my joy by being of the same mind, with the same love, united in heart, thinking one thing. In other words, walking together. So will this synod help us to walk together? It can. And I pray that it will, if those who participate don't use it for any other purpose. You know, the point of a synod on synodality is not, and should not be, to change what the church teaches about faith or morality. Christ has articulated quite clearly his plan for marriage, his plan for sexuality, his plan for communion and priesthood. And he's done so quite joyfully and mercifully. If someone goes to the synod intending to change that, they probably shouldn't be there. But perhaps the most important effect of the synod would be if it changes the way in which I listen, the compassion with which I listen to someone who is not experiencing that joy or does not feel that mercy. To give someone permission to not follow God's law or to receive communion in spite of it is neither joyful nor merciful. But neither is it joyful or merciful for me to ignore their suffering and just hope that it goes away. And being a synodal church, as Pope Francis calls it, is not just about morality, even though that's what will be in the headlines all this month. It's also simply about listening for our future. When we began our pastoral planning process in 2017, our faith forward process, I think my greatest prayer, which you probably heard me say, was that we would listen to the Holy Spirit and each other. That we would listen to each other and the Holy Spirit. Because if we just listen to each other, then the loudest voice wins, the majority wins. God placed a pastor over each parish, and a bishop over each diocese, and a pope over our universal church. That was Jesus' plan. But if I close my ears and think that all I need is the Spirit, then I forget that the Holy Spirit also speaks through people and has done so for millennia. Is it fair for me to say then that we don't just need a synodal church, but synodal families and synodal couples who are praying together and eating together and spending time together? Not to change the rules, not to subvert authority, but to make sure that they are listening to each other and the Spirit. Perhaps that's what I'll pray for this month. For me, for the parish, and for the synod. That I and we and they would take the rest of St. Paul's advice to the Philippians. To not act out of selfishness. To not look out for our own interests. But to take the same attitude of Christ Jesus.